Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Andrew. I'm one of the ministers here. And welcome if you're new. Have you ever dared to think that God is not just? These words come from the 2003 movie Luther about the life of Martin Luther. Luther goes on to tell this older monk, "God has us born tainted by sin, then he's angry with us all our lives for our faults, this righteous judge who damns us, threatens us with the fires of hell." The old monk responds, "Martin, what is it that you seek?" And he says, "A merciful God, a God whom I can love, a God who loves me." Have you felt that? Have you thought that before? That God is up there looking down on our actions? So he's looking down on us because of our actions? Do you think God is keeping stock of our good and bad thoughts and actions and is like a mean, judgmental Santa Claus who's making a list and he's going to give us what we deserve? But to offset this, you might try and think, "Oh, I'm going to be good. I've done some bad things, but if I do some good things, it'll offset what I've done." Like carbon credits. There's like this holy credit system that you can trade in. You might donate to a charity. You might put up with that annoying workmate. You might tell that person what they want to hear so they think you're nice, even if you disagree with them, but you don't want to hurt their feelings. You might think, "I'm okay because I've obeyed the Australian law, you know, the peak of all law systems in the entire world. I'm sure there's some sort of judicial agreement or treaty that we have with heaven that means that if you don't break Australian law, you're okay with God, right?" But you probably also think, you are better than some people around you. You know that some people are worse than you, right? Today in our passage, we come to the heart of who Jesus is and why he came. We get this story of a tax collector, Zacchaeus, and then this summary statement of why Jesus came in the first place. In our story, we're told that Jesus enters Jericho. This was the last major city before Jerusalem. It's about 24 kilometers from there. And this is just before the Easter story kicks off. And in the end, it'll have Jesus dying on a cross. It might have happened maybe 10 days before Jesus ends up dying. So we're close to the end of the story. And we're introduced to Zacchaeus. And we're told two things about this guy. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. This fact may bounce off us a little today. If this was a stage play and this was how the character was introduced, we are meant to boo and hiss at this moment. Tax collectors were outcasts. They were Jewish people collecting money for the Roman occupiers. They made their money by taking more than that was required and pocketed the rest. This meant his own people didn't like him. The Romans may have even looked down on him for betraying his own people and squeezing them for money. In the Mishnah, a collection of Jewish teachings, tax collectors are classed with murderers and robbers. And not only is Zacchaeus a tax collector, he is wealthy, which means he's good at his job. Zacchaeus was perhaps like a phone scammer who was wealthy. Not only is his occupation dubious, he was also good at it. You want to be friends with someone who steals credit cards from old retired folk? You want to stay with someone who is rich from squeezing the working class from their money? Zacchaeus was an outcast, and he probably knew it. He was short, so people looked down on him, but he was the chief tax collector, so people looked down on him. He was rich, but that's all he was. And he wasn't favored by anyone. But Zacchaeus, like the blind man just before this story, wanted to see Jesus. Both these outcasts wanted to see him. In verse 3, it says, he wanted to see who Jesus was. Now, I think this is an interesting line. It doesn't say he wanted to see what Jesus looked like. He wanted to see more than just Jesus' appearance. He wanted to see Jesus, what this guy was actually like. He may have heard about Jesus. There might have been a bit of buzz around him. And maybe heard all the stories, how he's treating those on the fringes of society, how he's confronting the religious people but being kind to the leper and the prostitute. But because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowds. They were in his way of seeing Jesus. So he puts himself in this bit of an embarrassing situation. He runs up ahead, climbs up a tree. Back then, wealthy people did not run, and they certainly didn't climb trees. But Zacchaeus didn't care. He was determined to see who Jesus was, even though the crowds were stopping him. Now, not only does Zacchaeus get to see Jesus, Jesus gets to see Zacchaeus. Jesus stops and looks up at this little man in a tree and says, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Can you hear the urgency in his request? Right now, come down. Today I must stay. This is unusual. It seems a little impolite. Jesus is inviting himself over. Normally the host is meant to do the inviting. But Jesus, who was passing through, now wants to stay. He's found someone in this town who he wants to be with, and that is Zacchaeus. And so Zacchaeus gladly and at once agrees. He welcomes Jesus joyfully. Someone wants to spend time with him. He was accepted by Jesus, even if no one else was going to do that to him. He was noticed and seen and wanted someone to be in his company. And the people saw this and they began to mutter. They didn't mutter because Jesus was breaking invitation conventions. They were muttering because Jesus wanted to stay with this corrupt official, this outcast. You see, the crowd is right. Zacchaeus is a sinner. He isn't a good person. He's also rich, so he has power and access to all of the things. Jesus said in the chapter before this one that it's impossible for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus, by any standards, isn't right with God. Those in the moral majority, they know it. They mutter and look down on him. They think they're better than Zacchaeus. They know they're better than Zacchaeus. And this is what makes Zacchaeus unique in this story. Zacchaeus knows he is lost and in need of saving. He is seeking Jesus to see who he is. The crowds don't know that they are lost and in need of saving. Instead, they're comparing themselves and saying they're better. After all, they've done all the right things. Early in Luke, Jesus tells a story about the one lost sheep and the 99 who are safe. But here in the end, there is one safe person and the 99 who are lost, and they don't know it. All through the Gospels of Luke, we see this pattern with Jesus. Jesus is attracted to the outcasts, and the outcasts are attracted to him. Jesus is attracted to those on the outside, those on the fringes, those who are unpleasant. And he repels those who are respectable, those who have their religion and are well put together. The moral majority, they are into religion. They are those who have kept the rules. They are those who have worked hard. They are those who have been good people. And these are the people who are not attracted to Jesus. For these people feel superior to others. And until you see that Jesus came to save us from our self-respectability, from our self-religion, from our self-improvements of working at being a better person, then you can't come into God's kingdom. A while back, Hannah had a bunch of her teacher friends over. And one of them was telling me about all these crazy reality shows that she watches. And they seem like real train wrecks of a program. She's like laughing about how these people are messed up and deceiving one another and the situations they were put in. And I said, "Do you watch these shows to make yourself feel better?" And she said, "Yes, absolutely. Like, these people are trashy. They're lying. They're deceitful. They make faulty judgments. And that's what we do. We watch these poor people on television who have been exaggerated in the editing, put into unreal, stressful situations, and we judge them for our own entertainment to make us feel better about ourselves. I think if you were to ask people in Canberra if they are more loving or more unselfish than most, about 80 to 90% of people will say they're better than half the people in this town. And that mass doesn't add up. We all think we are better than some. We all judge people on categories that we are good at or attracted to. Those on the left don't like those on the right. Those on the right don't like those on the left. The middle class who work hard don't like those who don't work hard. Those on the fringes of society don't like the mainstream because they don't understand what their life is really like. And we see that Jesus comes to those who know they are not respectable, those who need help, those who are looked down upon. And they are attracted to him. And we see this with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, in response to all this muttering, he calls Jesus Lord. That's a title for someone who is above you, like a master or a ruler. He may have been a chief tax collector for Rome, but he has found his new king. And Zacchaeus, he vows to give his money to the poor and repay with 400% interest if he's cheated anyone. Zacchaeus, whose heart was in money, is now in some place else. And he does exactly what Jesus tells the Pharisees to do in Luke 11, to be generous to the poor. Here we see this encounter has changed who Zacchaeus is. And it's interesting to note the order. This vow that he makes is not made as a precondition of Jesus' acceptance, but as a result of it. Jesus does not require Zacchaeus to change before he takes up residence with him. Jesus takes up residence and his presence evokes a transformation within Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is doing what John the Baptist told other tax collectors to do in Luke 3, for them to produce fruit in keeping with repentance, to not collect any more money than they are required. And we see what Jesus says in verse 9. Today, salvation has come to this house. In verse 5, Jesus says, I must stay at your house today. And here we have salvation coming into this house. I think he's saying Jesus is salvation. This is different from other religions. Muhammad is not salvation in Islam. Buddha is not salvation in Buddhism. But Jesus is salvation in Christianity, because Christianity is all about Jesus. He is the one who saves. It's not by being good. It's not by following some religious path. It's been found by Jesus that saves. Zacchaeus didn't invite Jesus into his house. Jesus did that. He has invited himself into Zacchaeus' home, and he was transformed because of it. And see what Jesus tells him. This man too is a son of Abraham. No matter what the crowds think, Jesus says he's a son of Abraham. This means he's taken on some sort of traits as Abraham, like how a child takes on the same traits as their parents. And Abraham was like the greatest example of a guy with faith. He believed in the promises of God, and his faith was counted to him as being righteous. And here we have Zacchaeus, also being counted among that number. He has the faith like his great forefather Abraham before him many years ago. And then we have this great line, this great summary statement from Jesus about his own mission. If you were to ask Jesus why he came, this would be a great answer because it's from Jesus himself. He says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The truth is we are all lost from God. We've all wandered away from God. We appreciate the world he has made and the experiences we get, but we do not acknowledge all this good comes from him. We like the gifts, but not him, the giver. We forget him and we ignore him. We take and consume and live our own ways and our own ways end up owning us. We go after things like power, money, status, family, but these pursuits, they don't satisfy, they don't last, and they consume us. Jesus came to save, to bring us back to how we are meant to live, not controlled by the things we seek after, not controlled by what the crowds think, but to be free, to live for God, seeing money and experiences for what they are, gifts from God, and reordering them correctly under the God who gives them. But only those who are lost will see that they are in need of help. Only those who know they haven't lived how they ought. Only those who want to face up to their regrets and their guilt. Only those who put aside their self-righteousness will be saved. If you don't, you will mutter with the crowds and keep comparing yourself to others, looking down on those you think you're better than. Know that you are lost. Know that you need to be found. We are all in need of saving. And I have good news for you if that is you. For Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to save those who are not complete, those who haven't made it, those who are not well put together. He came for the lost, the outcasts, the ones who need help. So my advice for you is to see Jesus for who he is. Do what Zacchaeus did. He put himself in an embarrassing situation by climbing up a tree. Now, you can't climb some eucalyptus tree to see Jesus today, but you can see him in the Bible. One commentator said, Zacchaeus climbed a tree to see Jesus, and he discovered the meaning of salvation. Jesus was on his way to hang on a very different tree, and that was how salvation happened. Reading on in this story, you will see that Jesus was mocked and whipped and falsely accused by the religious and the powerful. He was put on a cross outside of the city to die, and there he took on the sins of the world and offers salvation to all, even those dying next to him. He was the ultimate outcast, and he did all of that for you. He took on all your wrongdoings, took that punishment from God so that you can go free. The punishment was death, but 3 days later he walked out of the tomb. Jesus defeated death and offers life to all who trust in him. All of this happened because Jesus said, that's what Scripture says. And we have access to read those Scriptures today. Now, reading the Bible will be weird. It will be embarrassing. You may have to start coming to church more. You may have to join a life group where we read the Bible together, and people will mutter. They might say, this is a phase. They might ask, are you better than me now? They will look down on you. Probably every Christian in this room has a story about someone muttering about them and their faith. But don't let the crowd stop you. Do everything you can to see who Jesus is. Don't let your pride drive you deeper into lostness. Lean into being a nobody. It's the nobodies Jesus came to save. It didn't stop Zacchaeus. He knew he needed help. All Christians know they are not well put together. They know they have done wrong, and it's only in Jesus and not their actions that make them right with God. Country singer Colin Buchanan, he's mostly known for kids' songs, but he does adult stuff. And in one of those songs, he says, seeing all my wretchedness drives me to the Saviour. I'm nowhere, I got nothing, I got no one else but him. What the lost need the most is the way. What the fool needs the most is the truth. What the dead need the most is the life. It all comes down to Jesus. Call Jesus Lord and repent of your ways. Know that you are no better. And the good news is that this is freeing. It will change how you see others around you. There's no need to jostle for status or power. You can be generous towards those who are weak, those who are in need, and you don't have to big note yourself about it. You don't have to prove yourself to others or to God. It's not a competition. It's not a religion you have to work at. You're free to be generous, and it's no loss to you. In religion, you're working to trying to get to God. People try seeking him and then they get angry that God owes them something for all the seeking they have done. In the gospel, God is seeking you. He comes down and saves the lost, and that's transformative and freeing. The heart of God is one that seeks and saves the lost. God always wanted to bring his people back to him, so he came down to draw us back to himself. And this wasn't just some new idea that Jesus introduced about God. In our first reading from Ezekiel 34, it's written to the nation of Israel. They're under oppression from the Babylonians. And in that chapter, God was saying the leaders of Israel have not cared for the people, so God himself is going to care for them. He's going to look after his scattered flock. He will rescue them from the nations and gather them up. In verse 16, he says, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And before this, God rescued the nation of Israel from Egypt. Throughout history, God has been a rescuing God. And then Jesus comes along and says, his role is the same. Jesus tells three stories in Luke 15 about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And in all these stories, when they are found, the finder throws a party, calls all their mates, and celebrates. Jesus is a God who loves his people and celebrates when he rescues them. That is his heart. He values us because he loves us, and he paid our debt with his blood. How much more will we rejoice knowing that our debt has been paid by God? Luther's cry about wanting a God who is merciful, a God who loves him and one he can love, that is the real God that we see in Jesus. In that Luther scene at the beginning, it doesn't end with Martin's frustration. The older monk, he says, look to Christ, bind yourself to Christ, and you will know God's love. Say, I am yours, save me. Say, I am yours, save me. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Today, salvation can come to your house. Today, you can put your trust in Jesus. Today, Jesus is seeking and saving people who are in need. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Call out to God. Call him Lord. And so I'm not going to leave it there. In response to this, I'm going to give us a chance to call out to God, to call Jesus Lord. If you want, pray with me. Tell God that you want to see who Jesus is and that you know you are lost and in need of saving. I'm going to pray. Lord God, I know I have wandered from your ways and am in need of saving. Lord Jesus, please save me. I am sorry for using your gifts without thanking you, the giver. I am sorry for the harm I have caused myself and others in living my own way. I am sorry for ignoring you. Please save me, for I am in need. I am lost and want to be found by you. Help me to see you for who you are. Give me help and support and a community to help me to grow in knowing you. I ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.